Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sound Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Sound Guy with you, QT should be with us shortly. Real quick before we jump into it, if you're looking for wrestling tonight, you have WCWO like usual at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, ACW in Allentown, PA, AWF in Tempe, Arizona, World Class Big Time Professional Wrestling in Chillicothe, Ohio, First Wrestling in Minneapolis, Minnesota, PWF in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and 321 Battle here in Seattle tonight. Tomorrow night, HPW back at the HPW Arena in Columbus, Indiana. You have All-Star Pro Wrestling in Shelbyville, Indiana. FSW in Las Vegas, Nevada. UWC in Wrightstown, New Jersey. POW in Chicago, Illinois. And WCWC beginning their 25-hour marathon tomorrow. That is in Salem, Oregon. Without further ado, I would like to welcome to the show our guest today. He is a member of the A-Team, Jackson Price. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, since today's your first time with us, we're going to start you out with our traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, it's pretty simple. I'm 7 feet tall, and people need to know that a giant can pretty much beat anybody out there. That simple.
You are 7 feet tall.
Yes.
Now, in the history of professional wrestling, there have been other 7 feet competitors, Kevin Nash, Andre the Giant, El Gigante, Silo Sam, all come to mind of people that were 7 feet tall. All of them had varying degrees of success because of or despite their height. Looking at the landscape of things, what made you feel that being 7 feet tall would make you a successful professional wrestler?
Well, this is something I've always had a passion for since I was a young kid. Unfortunately, it was something I didn't discover I could do until much later in life. I've been an athlete my whole life, and I've always been in some type of business that's been physical, from bouncing to being a police officer, a couple other things. And so finally, once I figured out that I could get inside of that ring, I did. And I just want everybody to see that the big man is not the big slow man of yesteryear. I can be fast. I can be agile. But at the same time, I can kick some butt.
Speaking of being an athlete, in particular being a professional wrestler, diet is something that's very important in order to maintain proper ring conditioning, be it building up the size that you want or cutting back on size or just being able to have the energy to be in the ring for several minutes each night. Do you have any particular diet that you adhere to for maintaining your ring shape?
Well, I can say that I'm definitely different than a lot of people because I'm definitely a mind over matter type of guy. So I know, at least here in the Pacific Northwest, I see a lot of people drinking energy drinks, those are the Bangs. Yeah, I'm gonna go out and speak publicly against that. I don't think that that's something that's good for you. I don't know what's in it, but I don't think it's good for you. So I don't do energy drinks. I don't do anything like that. I'm not the best with diets, but for the most part, I stick to a pretty routine meal of sweet potatoes, rice, asparagus, mixed veggies, and chicken. I eat pretty plain throughout the week. I use food as a tool more than I enjoy it. It gets boring, but you do what you got to do to get by, to be able to eat for your size. In my case, I'm trying to get bigger, and so I need to take in more protein. So it's just a lot of chicken, a lot of those healthy vegetables, protein shakes when I can get them in there. I try to stay away from protein bars. I do splurge. I have candy, but so I'm not going to lie about that. But otherwise, yeah, I keep it pretty basic.
Now, one of the things that was sweeping the Northwest in the last couple of years was a lot of wrestlers would have a post-match antioxidant tea. I saw a lot of tea being drank in locker rooms around the Northwest for a while. Is tea something that you consume as part of your diet?
Not necessarily as part of my diet. However, I do drink some tea at night before I go to bed. That's just something that I've read, talked about. Helps you calm you down, helps calm your stomach down, helps your metabolism a little bit better. I drink this tea. It's actually called Sleepy Time Tea. It's supposed to help you sleep better. Whether it actually works or not, I don't know. It tastes decent, but I know I wake up and I never have any stomach issues or anything like that. So it's kind of a nice way to end the night.
Chamomile does help one sleep, I feel like, and that's the prime ingredient in the sleepy time. Now, you've not been around for very long so far in the wrestling business, but I'm sure that one of the goals for yourself, like anybody, is to garner as many championships as they can. Do you have any specific titles on your radar that you want to have on your list of goals for your career?
It's something I really haven't thought about because I know I've seen some pictures and people talk about it, but the championship doesn't make the man. The man makes the championship. And obviously that works for women as well. So I believe that you can have a successful career in wrestling without ever having a championship. It does help you because obviously that means that the company's putting some, or they're investing some time and some money into you because they want you as a champion, or whether it be their world champion or a tag or, you know, intercontinental or whatever the different promotions have, depending on where you are. So they're putting some recognition into you with that, and then you get that recognition as that champion. And so people know you as that, and you're associated with that belt. So, yeah, it's definitely a good thing. But I still think without a championship, you can still do great things in this company. In this business.
Now, I know you've been to a lot of places so far as companies go. You've hit several different ones already, and some of the companies have some fairly large competitors on their roster. Who would you say has been your biggest opponent thus far as physical stature?
It's difficult to say. As far as stature goes, there was Aldwin the Viking. He's from the Utah area. He came up here. He's a big boy. I think he's sitting around 6'8", almost 400, somewhere in there. So he's definitely a big one. And then, there's been some other people that weren't tall, just a little bit heavier than me, you know, sitting around that 400, 450 mark. So, of course, they're powerhouses in that right, but I have that size over them, so I can get the leverage. But, yeah.
Odwin, definitely a very large man. I concur there. Now, like you said, some people aren't necessarily tall, but they have a lot of weight to them, and they're big in that respect. And you have an opponent coming up on the 15th of December in Bremerton, Washington, that fits that bill. Tyson the Tank is a very, very large man as far as his physical stature. He tips the scale at close to, if not slightly over, 400 pounds. To my knowledge, you have not wrestled him in an official match, but do you have a strategy going in to wrestle a guy like Tyson the Tank?
Tyson the Tank. Now, I couldn't figure out what the tank part is. Is it his tank is empty? Is it it's a blown tank? That part I don't know. I don't know if you saw what happened at the last show, but I made my point very clear when, yes, he's 400 pounds, but what did I do? I picked him up and I choke slammed him right there on that mat. All 400 pounds of him. He can have 100 pounds on me, that's fine. But an opponent like that, I'm not worried about it. He's soft, and I'm going to prove it to everybody in the audience. They booed me, and they cheered him, and that's fine. And they can cheer him all they want because those cheers aren't going to get people anywhere, and he is not going to go anywhere.
All right. Now, like we said, you've not had a ton of experience so far, but you seem to be in fairly good condition, and you seem to be able to go toe-to-toe with a number of different opponents with a number of different styles. But to this point in time, what would you say has been the longest match that you've had?
It's a good question. Man, I don't time. Probably around 15 to 18 minutes. Nothing crazy long. Never had the need for a match to go any longer than that. People have been so lucky. And mind you, these are tag matches I'm in. So I'm not in that ring the entire time. Single matches, I mean, we're talking, what, 5 minutes tops? So as far as singles go, never over five. Tag, never more than 15.
Bringing up the tag team part of it, like I said in the beginning, you are part of the A-team, and those consist of a series of Canadian wrestlers that have been all over the Pacific Northwest. You have yourself, Chase James, Lance Pearson, among others, depending on the promotion. What's it been like wrestling as part of a faction at this point in your career?
Well, it's really nice because we travel together, we hang out together, we get to know each other. We know each other's strengths, we know each other's weaknesses. Chase James and I are currently tag team champions at a promotion. Plan on holding those belts for quite some time. There's nobody that's going to be able to step up to us, in my opinion. And if there is, then they're going to have to fly them in from somewhere else. So I look forward to holding on to that for a while. As far as traveling with the guys, it's just really nice to have somebody to have your back the whole time you're there. Everywhere we go, we have each other's backs. We wrestle as a team everywhere we go. And we know what we need to do. So if we need help out there, you know your brother's got your back.
One of the things that you do not do, but a lot of wrestlers much smaller than you incorporate into their arsenal are dives. Dives have become a standard part of any wrestling show. Sometimes you get several in the course of just one match. A lot of wrestlers that have the older viewpoint of thinking, not a fan of so many dives each show. A lot of wrestlers in the national companies have spoken out against having so many dives as it's fairly risky. What is your opinion on dives in wrestling?
Well, you're right. I've never been on the diving part of a dive, but I've been on the catching part of a dive. So, yeah, I don't like that. I don't like catching everybody, but you have to. As far as dives in a show go, you know, I don't necessarily count how many dives are out there, but the issue I see with dives, if you're doing multiple of them in different matches throughout the whole show, is for those that don't know, wrestling is a very competitive sport. And so the next person thinks that they need to outdo the last person who did a dive over the top rope. So maybe now they're going to go to the, now they're going to climb up to the third rope and jump off. And then the person after that thinks, okay, well, I need to do a backflip dive now or a 320 or something like that. And so that's what happens is everybody keeps trying to up the ante. Well, when you do that, what naturally is going to occur? Injury. Somebody's going to get hurt. And so I think what happens with all these dive spots is people just keep trying to outdo each other. And at the same time, not thinking about, okay, how can I outdo that last match, even though I had a wicked cool dive without doing a dive? What can I do that they did not do in that last match that will get the crowd going? Or that I can do on my opponent that he's not going to be expecting, because maybe my opponent will think there's a dive coming. How can I do something differently and still keep myself safe?
Well said. One of the things that you don't see a lot of these days, even though it's still a little bit prevalent here in the Northwest, is the wrestling manager. Do you have an opinion on how managers are being used in this era of professional wrestling, and is having a manager something that you've done previously?
I've had a manager at a couple different places ago. As a big guy, you need somebody to help with your day-to-day. So it's that simple. We have our good buddy Jake Anderson here with Cascade. At UWU, I have a lovely young lady walk me out as well, just to prove a point. So she's out there. She looks good, but she serves a purpose as well, because if you get in her face, then she can also bust you one. As far as the role of a manager, I don't necessarily pay attention to a lot of other places, and so I don't know what they're doing with managers. And so what you're saying as far as them not using it, I wouldn't be surprised, because, yeah, that's extra time. That's an extra person that you have to deal with. And so I can see how it could be difficult, but I can also see the advantages to it if it works for your character and or for the situation at hand.
Well, at this point in the show, we have a game that we like to play. We call it Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people that you likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops into your head is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
Are these English words?
Yes, they are English words, but I don't believe I have any English athletes on the list.
Okay, let's see what you got.
All right, here we go. J.D. Mason.
Trash man.
Bambi Hall.
Ooh, don't know her.
Chase James.
Tag champ.
El Sonico.
El Sonico. Loves to fly.
Sunny O'Mara.
She has really nice hair.
Darth Carter.
I heard he's under a rug or something.
Von Hess.
Oof. Tough SOB.
Seds.
What was that last one?
Seds.
Not familiar.
Lance Pearson.
MIA.
The last one on the list, Ethan HD.
Great trainer, great wrestler, great person.
All right. At this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I'm sure he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass you over to him for a bit.
QT Vokes?
QT Vokes.
QT, that stands for Quite Terrific.
Quad Terrific. It's a sweet rap name.
Yes. All right. Well, Jackson, I'd like to expand on SignGuide's word association, if I might. Are you ready for the expanded version of word association?
All right, go for it.
Okay. How about J.B. Moonshine?
J.B. Moonshine loves his vodka.
Okay. How about Pa Moonshine?
Old as dirt.
Old as dirt. Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Okay. Grigor Petrov.
Grigor Petrov. Man, he's the Russian pit bull.
Okay, pit bull. I was going to say jumper cables myself. Okay. How about Defola Dabashi?
Dabashi. I love that guy. Love.
Are there any truths to the rumors that he's going to give you a pair of custom boots from Yemen for Christmas? He's going to give you some with the curled toes.
And if he can find size 18 boots, I am all about that. I can't even find any. So please, I hope it is true. I've been a good boy this year.
Holy smokes, 18. Okay, all right. How about YT Jones?
YT Jones. And I should have choke slammed him.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. CJ Edwards.
CJ Edwards. Man, that guy, he's flashy.
Flashy. Okay. Little chocolate drop. Flashy. Okay. Kevin Brandt.
Kevin Brandt. I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, okay. Tyson Stewart, the last one.
Tyson Stewart. Sounds really familiar. Let's just say what goes up must come down.
Ooh. That, now, some people would say that that would apply to the Hindenburg, the Zeppelin that burst into flames over New Jersey in 1938.
Well, I mean, I don't want him to burst into flames, but if it happens, happens.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. All right. Well, Jackson, can you tell us, our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, about the Japanese tattoos on the right side of your body, kind of near your obliques?
Oh, man, I forget you even have those. What is it? So it says, it talks about believing in yourself and create your own destiny. It's and then some finger waves with some bamboo. I wanted something that was tranquil and something that I could always look at to remember that motto, because I always create my own destiny, and that's what I believe. And then, of course, that goes with believing in yourself as well. And so it's nice to have it right there on my side at all times. So that way, if I'm ever feeling down or just anything like that, I can always just remember it's right there.
That sounds kind of like vaguely familiar, the Bushido code of the samurai. Are you yourself a student of Japanese history and the Bushido code and Bushido warrior code?
Unfortunately, no, I am not.
Oh, okay. All right. Is it your hope one day to travel to Japan to wrestle?
Yes. If you were to ask me right now what my goal is for wrestling, I know a lot of people you talk to say to make it to the E or Ring of Honor or something like that, and mine is Japan to start with. I would love to be in New Japan, but if I get the opportunity to be in Japan just in general in a ring, that would be a dream right there, and then just to see what happens.
Have you talked to Ron Von Hess, a Northwest wrestler who has been to Japan several times?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. What advice has he given you about the Japanese crowds?
Well, we actually really haven't talked about the crowds, more or less just kind of what some of the promotions are looking for. So I really haven't dived into the crowd portion of wrestling over there.
Okay. All right. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Do you have some insights?
Well, it seems to me that the Japanese culture is rapidly changing as soon as 10 years ago. 10 to 15 years ago, they were still pretty much a little bit subdued. Of course, now this depends a little bit on where you went in Japan. But 10 to 15 years ago, they were a little bit subdued, very polite, especially if a newcomer came to the ring from the United States, they would sit there quietly and analyze them. But now, since the advent of the smartphones and the internet and the changing culture of Japan itself, they're a little bit more rowdy, a little bit more quick to applaud an American wrestler. They seem to know.
Okay.
They seem to be a little bit more connected worldwide. Yes.
Okay. That's actually really good to know, because I remember watching sport wrestling, but old pride fights back in the day, and your crowd is extremely quiet. So.
You mean, did you say Portland wrestling back in the day?
No. Pride fights.
Pride
martial
yes.
arts.
Yes.
So.
Oh, okay. Martial arts, yes. For a minute there, I thought you said Portland wrestling back in the day. And I was saying, the crowds were already amped up when Rip Oliver and the Klan and Playboy Buddy Rose and Roddy Piper would even set foot in the ring.
Oh, I bet.
Yes.
I would have been as well. So,
did you yourself get a chance to meet Roddy Piper before he passed?
No, I don't know if it's shameful or not, but I don't believe I've had the pleasure of meeting any of the legends. I've only met a couple, big name wrestlers, if you will, just through seminars that I've been in, some shows I've been associated with.
Oh, okay. I was very, very fortunate to travel down to Portland about 10 years ago and see Roddy Piper in his studio where they used to film the kids' cartoon show, or kids' show, Ramblin' Rod, and he was hosting Portland Wrestling Uncut in the studio, and I got to see him very close in a very small atmosphere. So I was very fortunate about that. I even held up a sign for Roddy, and he smiled at that sign. One of my better moments in my Northwest wrestling experience. Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yes. My sign actually stopped him in his tracks.
Oh. Nice.
Yes. I think it was something like I printed on there, if I could travel back in time, I'd beat Roddy with a foot-long hot dog. It made him smile.
All right. Sweet.
Now, speaking of time traveling, Jackson, if you yourself could travel back in time, which of these wrestlers, the choice of these wrestlers, would you most like to face? Would it be Goldberg, Rhino, Mick Foley, or Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Oof. Probably Mick Foley. And I say that because Mick Foley was a great worker. And so he would be able to give us a match with very little, but just great crowd presence that it would be a phenomenal match. I know it would be, and it would just wouldn't even have to be tons of work put into it. He just knew how to work so well. I could just go on autopilot and it would be a great match.
Okay, would you characterize Mick Foley as one of the top five wrestlers of all time and able to make another wrestler look good and carry that wrestler?
Yeah, I would say that.
Would he be in the same category as helping out another wrestler as, say, Triple H?
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, Triple H was known to make other wrestlers look very good, and Triple H was very calm in the ring. If you notice, he hardly ever is breathing very rapidly, and he's able to guide other wrestlers should their moves go slightly awry. He's been known to make other wrestlers' mistakes look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that case, and yeah, I think Mick Foley and him are definitely two people that are able to do that. You could throw somebody like me, Greenhorn, into a ring, and the match at the end could look like a 5-star match as long as we know how to listen.
Okay, all right. Well, Jackson, we have established that Japan is your major destination of choice in the future. How about Puerto Rico?
I don't know much about Puerto Rico other than has a pretty bad crime rate down there. So I'm not trying to get my wallet stolen or anything.
Yes, that's true. So does Longview and Kelso, though. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Jackson, are there any plans to have a mixed tag team match with Sarah Irene in 2019? Sarah Irene.
No, nobody's talked to me about anything like that. I'm open for whatever. I won't say no. So, you know, if that's thrown together, then I'm down.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, Jackson, Wilt Chamberlain was sometimes stopped in his tracks and asked an unwise question, how's the weather up there? And Wilt Chamberlain would spit on the person that said this to him and said, it's raining. Have you ever used this line on anyone?
No. People say that all the time, though. And apparently there's been like 600,000 people that have done that to somebody. So that's the first time I've heard Wilt Chamberlain story of that. But I've heard that story several times. No, I've never spit on anybody. Spitting is assault. So I don't feel like going to jail for that. However, people do quite often stop me to talk to me about that. And either I ignore them or I ask them a dumb question in return.
Oh, dumb. Okay. All right. Matching wit with wit. Very good. Okay. Well, Jackson, Chamberlain also ran track and field at the University of Kansas in 1958 and 1959. He high jumped around 6'7", ran the 400 yards in about 50 seconds flat. He put the shot around 55 feet and did the broad jump. Did you yourself turn out for track and field in high school?
I did track and field in middle school, and then I played a little bit in college as well. But I did not have any of those stats. I can tell you that right now.
Wow. All right. Can we ask what events in track and field you participated in middle school?
Gosh, so long ago. I did shot put, discus, and I don't remember. Maybe the 400 hurdle? I don't remember which hurdle. I did hurdles because we had to do a track. So, yeah.
Okay, I think they had the 8-pound shot put back then in junior high. I'm going to guess your longest throw was 44 feet. 44 feet.
I have no idea. That was so long ago. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Can you tell our fans what you majored in college at Eastern Washington University, what your intended major was?
Well, intended, I did major in criminal justice.
Oh.
With a minor in sociology.
Okay, sociology. Now, I didn't quite get that major. Can you repeat that, please?
Oh, criminal justice.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. You said that you were a policeman, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Can you tell us if you belonged to a fraternity?
No. I went to school and did not like any of those type of people. I went to school, studied, and went home. That's it. I didn't make any. I think I made one friend all of my college career. So,
Oh boy, one friend. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jackson, we unfortunately had an earthquake in Alaska today that measured 7.0 on the geological scale. Many roads are damaged due to the shifting of the tectonic plates. Would you say that your match at La Problemes against Darth Carter had the same seismic impact?
Well, I don't know if anybody else saw, because he had that mask on. But what did you say, all the seismic shift from the tectonic plates and cracked all the roads? Let's just say that my boot was the tectonic plates and his face was the roads.
Oh, come on. I mean, I it's well known on this show that I'm a pretty big fan of Darth Carter. The thought of a size 18 boot to his face, well, I guess it does happen. But were you amazed at his ability to spring back up from your big boot?
Wait, he sprung back up? I don't remember that.
Well,
pretty sure I yeah, okay. In that case, yes, I am surprised. However, if I happen to see him again in that ring at the same time, I will not be so nice.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Well, Jackson, we have the Cascade Championship Wrestling Second Harvest Wrestling event. It looks like on December 16th. They are encouraging all fans to bring two canned goods. Are there any truths to the rumors that may have originated from Kevin Brandt that you plan on to donate two number 10 cans of Dinty Moore beef stew?
Those rumors are not true.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Whoever started that, you shut your filthy mouth.
Whoa. Oh, okay. All right. Now, how is your current training going for this Cascade Championship Wrestling event? Because like Sign Guy covered and you covered before, you're going to be tagging with Chase James. Who will you be defending the belts against?
Well, that's in question right now. So far, we have an open challenge set for Cascade, and I haven't heard anybody step up and ask to fight us, so I don't know at this point. All I know is we will be there, and if somebody is ballsy enough to do so, then we'll be ready to go. As far as the training goes, I don't think anybody there is keeping up with my schedule. I'm up at 4 a.m. every day at the gym at 5 a.m., working out for 2 hours, ready to go. Been working on my diet, I'm working out, changing up my routine. I've been practicing more. So whoever's coming up to that ring, they're in for one hell of a fight.
Wow, very nice. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Jackson, I'd like to say congratulations on your recent wrestling domination in Marysville, Washington. Were you as shocked as I when you were ranked and Turnbuckle Terminal's top 9 7/8 at number 2.5, the highest debut ranking of any wrestler in the past 2 years, even though it was an emergency insertion?
I didn't even know this ranking existed. So, yes, I am surprised hearing about it.
Were you surprised you were higher ranked, debut ranked at that, and Diafola Dabashi had to be emergency inserted at number 6 in almost what can be described as an afterthought?
Who's described him as an afterthought? That's what I want to know.
Well, the original rankings came out, and then about an hour later, there was an emergency insertion of Diafola Dabashi and yourself, but you were ranked higher.
Well, I mean, Dabashi, he's definitely a force to be reckoned with. Don't get me wrong. However, I am the King of Giants style, and so when I make my debut, everybody knows.
Wow, all right, okay. How much
but
would...
I have a question. Hold on.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Who's number one?
That went to Jake Jekyll. Jake Jekyll.
Who's Jake Jekyll?
I'm all I can say is, Mr. Jackson, you'll have to do your research. This was very controversial this week.
Yes. Who's number three?
I believe number three was Sarah Irene, I think. Sarah Irene.
No. Jake Jekyll, Jackson Price, Sarah Irene.
Yes.
Okay. Good to know.
Oh, okay. I myself, it's on Kevin Brandt's Facebook page. Kevin Brandt.
Kevin Brandt.
Let me
see. I'm going to go talk to that guy.
Yeah. Let me see if I can. Well, I don't quite. Let me see. Well, I'm sorry. Anyway, how much would a number one ranking mean for you this holiday season? And thus, if you achieve this number one ranking, you get the awarding of the coveted Hostess Fruit Pie.
Hostess Fruit Pie. Oh, man.
Yes.
Hopefully it's cherry. Though I prefer JJ's over Hostess. However, it would mean a lot to me because then that means if I'm number one, then I bump number one out and Debashi could be at number five.
Oh, okay. As you know, Jackson, many wrestlers in the DOA ring and some in the Cascade Championship Wrestling ring have got this number one fruit pie. It means a lot to the wrestler.
Then I'm excited. I like fruit pie. It'll, you know,
all right.
I won't even eat it. That, it'll go in
okay.
my it'll go in my trophy case.
Oh, trophy case. Okay. You can always dip it in, let me see, liquid nitrogen to make it rock hard, you know, and preserve it. Well, Jackson, I have at number 3.5 on this Turnbuckle Turmoil 9 7/8 rankings, a tie between the Phoenix Kid and Alaskan manager Whitey Jones.
Oh,
my
geez.
Question is, were you involved in any way with a financial transaction between the Phoenix Kid and Whitey Jones that had Whitey upset because he said the Phoenix Kid cost him a lot of money? Were you involved in any cash transactions?
All I can say, my bank account is clean. IRS isn't coming after me for anything.
Wow, okay, no bounce checks or anything. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Jackson, one of the things that has
Hold on, Sign Guy.
Yes.
Did you just call him Cutie? You say thank you, Cutie?
No.
No, that's what you said. I heard you say thank you, Cutie. That's definitely what you said.
You are having flashbacks to when Dice Man Ronnie Vegas was on this very program. He, in fact, called him Cutie.
I definitely heard you say it. That's just what I heard, but whatever. Maybe it's your accent. I don't know.
Maybe, or maybe, you know, you should use some of that free health care and get your hearing tested. I'm just going to lay that on the table.
I have health care through my work. I don't need free health care.
Well, one of the things that has been popping up in wrestling on the independent level the last couple of years is television. A lot of promotions now have a television presence, be it through a streaming service or traditional broadcast television, but we're seeing more and more of that pop up on the independent level. When you're on a show that is doing television, do you find yourself having to wrestle differently than you would if it was a non-televised event?
As far as I'm aware of, I don't think I've been on television, so I wouldn't know.
Fair enough. All right. You mentioned a QT that you have the size 18 boots and you wouldn't like some from Diafola Debashi for Christmas this year. Lots of wrestlers take a lot of pride in their boots, and they will spend enormous amounts of money to get the boots that they want. Your first wrestling boots, who did you go through to acquire them, and were they the exact boots that you had envisioned going into wrestling?
Well, to be honest, I don't have traditional wrestling boots, if you will. I have not been able to find any of my size. And for me, it's really difficult to order, I should say, to have somebody make me a pair of boots without being able to try them on as the process is going. So the boots that I use are some boots that I found offline, or I should say online, and those are what I wear.
Another thing that wrestlers take a lot of pride in, if they're professional like yourself, is their wrestling gear, be it trunks, tights, singlets, what have you. Some people use very extravagant designs and collars. Some people use the more traditional solid collar trunks. But a lot of people take a lot of time and effort into their gear. What was your process like when you first were getting wrestling gear, and has it evolved very much since you started?
Yes. I've always wanted to. I like the look. I'll go old school here, of Kevin Nash with the pants and the singlet top. So that's the look I go for. I'm in the process of getting some new pants now. I've been wearing some cargos, my BDUs that work really well. But I'm ready to get some new pants because I have some new singlets. And my good buddy at Dynamite Enterprises, he helps me with all my graphic design and my printing and does all that for me. To give me a really nice singlet and to make sure everything looks really good.
Oh, over the course of wrestling history, to my knowledge, the only wrestler that incorporated hockey into professional wrestling was the Goon in mid-90s WWF. With as many gimmicks that come out over the decades, especially up in Canada, are you surprised not more hockey-based gimmicks have come to fruition in pro wrestling?
Well, they probably have. We just don't know about them. Otherwise, I would say hockey is a very serious thing, and so people tend to stay away from things that they care about so much. I know down in America, I don't see tons of football gimmicks or baseball gimmicks. So that's not something you see really big. So I understand.
Oh, anyone that spends a lot of time in the wrestling business is going to suffer injuries. It's just the nature of the business. What would you say is the number one injury that you fear the most obtaining?
And I don't. Does death count as an injury? And it would be that one. Otherwise, I would say probably something to do with my legs or spine. This year, I know we're wrapping up the year now, but I've so far have gotten partially torn rotator cuff, and partially torn bicep on my left side. Extensive nerve damage in my neck and my elbow. And then some strained muscles. So stuff happens.
Most definitely. Now, QT admitted he is a huge fan of Darth Carter earlier in this show. It is very well known that I hate that idiot. Hate him with a passion. In fact, you and
QT?
I both hold victories over Darth Carter at Pablanitas. I have also defeated him there. Do you think that he may be the scourge of the wrestling industry?
I don't think scourge is the proper word. Maybe more of like a skid mark on underwear.
Well, you're saying he's the new Ryan Howe who wrestled as Skidmark a few years ago.
Then yes, that would be it.
Poor Ryan Howe. Not poor guy. Now, we talked about your diet earlier in the show, but another thing that a lot of wrestlers have to do in order to maintain conditioning for wrestling is the exercise regimen, be it lots of cardiovascular, be it weight training, be it parkour, whatever wrestlers do to maintain their physical conditioning. Do you have a set regimen that you use at this point in time?
Well, what I do is the same. It just varies on days. Today, for instance, was my second day of arms, well, biceps, I should say, and forearms and traps with 25 minutes on the spin bike at high 14. Resistance. So that was today's. Well, yesterday's workout was I did biceps again, and it was all back with treadmill at the highest setting for elevation at, I think, 3.2 to get a good burn in. So it just depends on the day. But, yes, I stick to a lot of the same stuff. I'm throwing new workouts here and there to keep my body guessing.
Oh, in years past, wrestlers were always paid for when they wrestled. If you missed shows, you didn't get paid, especially in the territorial days of wrestling when it was mostly a full-time profession and guys would tape up injuries. They would get shot with Novocaine or they would get cortisone shots and just keep going, which led to more damage. In these days, the larger national promotions are much more cognizant on injuries and keeping the wrestlers safe from long-term damage. It's a little bit different on the independent circuit, but do you feel that promoters, by and large, take in the long-term health of the people wrestling for them, or do you think that it's mainly the job of each individual wrestler to be aware of their physical state and to know when to take time off or when to not get into a ring?
I think at the level that we're at, it's on the individual. I didn't have anybody to make sure I was okay. Everything happened and then I went and took care of it on my own. It's up to everybody now. I imagine once you get into the bigger promotions, then yeah, they are going to take care of you, or at least attempt to. So, but that's because there's investments in this place and time. Even if there is some investment in you, I just don't think there's enough money behind it all to be able to give these people health care. So yeah.
Well, we're coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure you have ample time to say anything you would like, plug and promote anything you want, the social medias, upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Well, as we spoke about on the 16th, I have World Underground Wrestling against Tyson the out of my tank. And so that's going to be a good match. I do plan on winning. And I believe there's a stipulation attached to that match. So loser goes home. So I can tell you right now that I do not plan on losing. I don't want to go home. Then the following day on the 16th, I'll be at Cascade. Chase James and I will be there. If somebody steps up to the challenge, we'll see. I hope they do. Otherwise, I know there's all that canned food, and some of it may just find its way into my pantry. Otherwise, I'm not sure what's ahead of me for the new year. I do plan on attending a pretty big camp in March, put on by some Japanese promoters and wrestlers, and learning some of that strong style. That's going to be a lot of fun, and I really look forward to making connections and networks there. And that's going to be put on by Von Hess. For anybody that's local in my area that listens to this or anywhere, if you're looking for custom-made gear, merch, any of that stuff, Dynamite Enterprises is the place to go. My buddy will hook you up. Great deals. He does great work. It's where I get all my gear and all my merch done. I just got some new shirts made. So if you guys are looking for early Christmas presents, come buy one. I got a couple hats left. Same thing. Otherwise, you know, I look forward to 2019. It's going to be a great year. I've taken everything I've learned from this year, move forward with it. Hopefully my injuries will be fully healed, and I'll be ready to kick some ass.
All right. Well, Jackson Price, it was a pleasure having you on the show today. I look forward to seeing you in locker rooms in the near future. Hopefully you've put an end to that idiot Darth Carter, because I think he is the scourge of the business.
Come on, fans,
if you get the chance to see Jackson Price or any of the A-Team, they're all outstanding. Definitely go buy a ticket, support what they do, pick up some of their merchandise if they have some on a table near you. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. Max Burnside will be our guest on Sunday. He will be wrapping up that aforementioned 25-hour marathon at WCWC. And a week from today, it's been a long time since he's appeared here, but we will have Scarecrow back on the show. So definitely tune in for that. And we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. Get out there and support some local wrestling.
I have a question.
Yes.
When Max Burnside's on there, ask him how he's feeling after that chokeslam.
I think that is on the list of questions we will ask him for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. Let me know what he says.
Will do. All right, fans, get out there, support your local independents, and we'll be back Sunday.
Have a good one.
Talking in.